स्तुवांसस्तनुभिः व्येषेम देवहितं यदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यं वरिष्ठनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्ददातु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. We go to page 8 and we do these three passages, 29, 30 and 31. When the ultimate realization is achieved, oneness with the divine, then three things happen, among other things. Many things happen, three things are mentioned in this Mundaka Upanishad passage, which is paragraph 28, passage 29. There it says, when the self which is both high and low, transcendent and immanent, is realized, the knot of the heart gets untied. Actually, it should be plural, the knots of the heart get untied. All doubts are cleared and all of one's actions except prarabdha become dissipated. So let us try to understand these three things. The shloka is Vidyate hridaya granthihi chidyante sarva samshaya kshiyante chasya karmani tasmin drishte paravare. Three things. Vidyate hridaya granthihi. Hridaya granthi means all the blemishes, limitations of the mind. Kama, krodha, lobha, all those things, you are familiar with them. Eight fetters Sri Ramakrishna called. Shame, hatred, fear, pride, all these things. They all disappear. Person becomes pure and simple and calm. Now what is happening? If I have something, if I have more money than you have, then I become proud. I am a richer person. If I know more than you know, then I become proud. I am a more knowledgeable person. If the opposite happens, if you have more money than I have, then I become jealous of you. Pride and jealousy are opposite qualities. If you are in a higher position than I am, then I become jealous of you. So all those jealousies and pride, fear, hatred, all those things will disappear. Mind becomes completely calm and pure like a clear lake. That is one thing. Vidyate hridaya granthihi chidyante sarva samshayo. No questions remain. Until then, no matter how much we study and reflect, doubts will be there, whether this is true or not. Traces of doubts linger in our minds until the end. So all doubts will be cleared when experience comes. Until experience comes, doubt remains. When experience comes, there is no argument with it. You can't argue with experience, because you know it from your own experience. So chidyante sarva samshayaha. Third thing, kshiyante asya karmani. Karmani means karma can be classified in many ways. In this context, dharma is sanchita karma, kriyamana karma, prarabdha karma. These three things we have to know. All the karma that we do with all our karma instruments leave an impression that is known. How many instruments we have to do karma?
11.
Those are sense organs.
Five karmendriyas.
Those are karmendriyas. Sense organs. Not sense organs. Trikarana. You have heard the expression?
Monikyongkar.
No. Trikarana Shuddhi. Trikarana means instrument. Three instruments only we have.
Thought, speech, action?
Yes. Mano, Vak, Kaya. Kaya includes the sense organs. Thought, speech and action. These are the three main instruments. Some of these have subdivisions. Kaya has subdivisions, sense organs, all those things. Speech, everything comes under body. So these three instruments, whenever we do any action by one or more of these three, they leave impression. The impressions are also called karma. The actions are also called karma. The terminology is sometimes confusing. So all the impressions that we have been accumulating for a very long time over many lifespans, those are stored in our subconscious, huge store. These are like records of old transactions. Every transaction we do with one or more of these instruments leaves an impression, leaves a file, leaves a record. Those records are accumulating. Huge data. Data mining you have to do. Huge amount of impressions are stored. That's sum total of all the impressions that we have accumulated. They would simply keep quiet. They are eager to come out and find expression in more action in the form of desires and urges, impressions, vasanas. That sum total of all the old impressions so far accumulated is called sanchita karma. Sanchayana means accumulation. Sanchita karma means accumulated impressions. Accumulated impressions. Now all of those impressions are waiting to be worked out. Then we need embodiment. Person has to take birth to work out those impressions. As long as impressions are there, births are necessary. But in one lifespan, those cannot be worked out. That's too many, too huge to be worked out in one lifespan. And when we work out those impressions, we do karma and they create more new impressions and the file keeps on growing. So that's why we get caught up in this karma phala cycle, endless loop. We have to break from that, find an exit from that one. So a certain small portion of that sanchita karma, subset of that sanchita karma file is going to be worked out in this present life. That is slated to be worked out in this present life. Not the, all of it, it cannot be. Small part of it is slated to be worked out in this life. That part is, that small fraction of the sanchita karma file is called prarabdha karma. Prarabdha means that which has begun to bear fruit. Prarambha. Prarambha means to begin something. Prarabdha means that which has begun to bear fruit. Prarabdha is as part of the sanchita. Big circle and then a small circle within it. Continuing it.
Swamiji, you said desires, just because you desire doesn't become a vasana and kind of waiting for an opportunity to express itself. What happens to them then? The punya or papa that is accrued out of that karma that you had, what about the consequences of those or the results of those?
You enjoy, experience them. You experience in your life, good and bad.
But do they all happen at the same lifetime?
No, over many lifetimes.
Right.
One lifetime is not enough.
That's right.
To finish that.
So is it just is it just because I desire something that cannot be fulfilled in this lifetime, does it just become an imprint in vasana so that it can...
If the desire is strong, it will stay there, waiting to be fulfilled.
I see.
If you raise the desire, no, I don't want it.
Mm.
At one time I wanted it, but now I have overcome that desire, I don't need any more, thank you. Then it will not bother you. But if you think about it often and keep it in your mind, then it will be there, waiting to be worked out at some point. If not in this life, maybe in next life or next life. That's all the sanchita karma. You can add to it.
So that means, if the desire is strong enough, it does get
it
fulfilled.
Waits.
It does get fulfilled.
Yeah, at some point, it is waiting, whether it really gets fulfilled or not, or when it does, you don't know, but it is waiting to be fulfilled. Where does it go? So you created an impression, you strengthened it by thinking about it more and more, and it has to be somewhere. The sanchita fire has all those impressions. Hmm? Now the prarabdha is only worked out in this life. When prarabdha is worked out, this life ends.
Maharaj, I have a question in that one.
Hmm.
So you are saying that part of the sanchita karma will become prarabdha karma, right?
Hmm.
So does it mean which are topmost and strong, do they become as prarabdha?
Probably. Which requires to be fulfilled quickly, urgency.
Okay.
I think so, maybe. But Ishwara decides that. Don't worry about how mechanics. Mechanics we cannot understand.
What is the heuristic?
Mechanics of rebirth, all those things we don't understand. Some Upanishads have that, but it's esoteric.
Yeah.
It's not very clear how all these impressions, where are they stored, where is the file?
Chitragupta has it.
Who many times said Chitragupta or somebody else? There must be a huge new data processing department there in the Himalaya. So we don't know those things.
So
we were just discussing what is meant by karma. Karmani kshiyante, in this verse all karmas will go, that's what we are trying to understand. If you expand the topic of karma, it will take the whole evening and next three sessions also. So let us not go too much into that. Just enough to understand this mantra. You have to keep the focus of our study, otherwise you can go in 10 different directions. Then all our time will go away. Now let's not do that, keep the focus. So that is prarabdha karma. Now when your prarabdha is being worked out, you are doing new karma, fulfilling the desires. Now they create new impressions. So those impressions, where do they go? They go back to the sanchita file. So sanchita file is constantly being enriched, more details are being added. So it becomes an endless task. So at some point we have to stop. When realization comes, the whole sanchita karma will be deleted, global delete. Prarabdha will not be deleted, except prarabdha it is written. Prarabdha will be worked out in this life.
Yeah.
The person lives as jivan mukta, prarabdha acts on his body, but he is overcome body consciousness, so he doesn't suffer. Body suffers. Saravan Maharshi also had cancer, Sri Ramakrishna, all those people had. They have also sickness, people insult them and praise them and blame them, what's all prarabdha, but they remain unaffected by it. Kshiyante tasya karmani. If you want to understand more of this, I need Gita book. I'll give the shloka in the fourth chapter. Atma-jnana, not aparavidya. When Atma-jnana dawns, then all the karma will be burnt loose to ashes. Jnanagnihi sarva karmani bhasmasat kurute. Reduces to ashes. Except in the footnote Shankara says, commentary Shankara says, except prarabdha. Prarabdha, what happens? It works out. Or prarabdha is like the arrow released from the bow. You can't stop it. Sanchita karma is all the arrows waiting in the quiver. They are not begun, so the quiver can be deleted, can be discarded. But the one arrow which has been released from the bow, that will go and hit the target, whether you like it or not. That is prarabdha. That's the example sometimes they give to explain difference between sanchita and prarabdha. And kriyamana karma is the impression that you are adding now due to our present karma. So all these karma except prarabdha will go away. Jnana kshiyate chasya karmani. So three things. Bhidyate hridaya granthihi. Kama krodha everything will go. Heart becomes completely pure and calm. Completely free from all lust, anger, greed, all those things. Pure and calm. They cannot become angry. Angry is also, krodha is also one of the harishad workers. Krodha will go away. That person, you can't make him angry. Kama krodha will go. All samshayas chidyante sarva samshayaha. All samshayas will go. Kshiyante chasya karmani except prarabdha. Sanchita karma will go. Kriyamana karma will not create new impressions because person does all actions with detachment. Nishkama karma does all actions are dedicated to the divine. Tat kurosya madarpanam, tat kurosya dashnasi. So no impressions are created. When I give away something to somebody, then I don't have any connection with it. If I do some karma dedicated to the divine, give it to God, oh Lord, please accept it. I don't want his karma phala. So then I am free. So that way everything will be clear. So that is what happens upon realization.
More or less that will be typo, that 2.2.8, not 1.
Yeah, that is a typo there in the question of
correctly.
Thank you for pointing out. Second chapter, second section. Achena. Asti. But I'm not trying to get it. I'm not able to get it. Some more struggle.
Okay, Maharaj. It's here.
No, you keep it. I got it. We can exchange. Let me see what pen you have.
This is a good pen.
Black one.
See, you take this one.
Yes, Maharaj.
Because?
Vedanta Center.
Yes, that's our address and phone number. In case you want to call me. 2.258, right, Shiv Shankarada? Thank you. That was correct. Thank you. Okay, shall we go to the next passage? This 30th passage is from the, it comes in two Upanishads, Mundaka Upanishad, Prashna Upanishad. Very interesting. As rivers flowing down become indistinguishable upon reaching the sea, giving up their names and forms, so also the illumined soul, having become freed from name and form, reaches the self-effulgent Purusha, that is, higher than the high. Yatha nadyaha syandamanaha samudre astam gacchanti nama rupe vihaya. Imagine that there is a huge ocean and many rivers are flowing into the ocean. When the rivers flow, they all don't flow like radii in a circle in the same direction, towards the same, they are going different way. Sometimes curve goes back and this same way, some go from east to west, some go from west to east, north and south. Every direction the rivers flow, irregular courses. Eventually they go to the ocean. And the rivers are not all same size. Some are wider, some are narrower, some are many islands in between them, all those things. So all those rivers flowing down become indistinguishable upon reaching the sea. Once they join the ocean, Ganga river, Krishna river, Yamuna river, Saraswati river, Saraswati is not visible, Yamuna, all those things will go to some ocean. And once they reach the ocean, what happened? There is no, in the ocean there is no separation, no compartment. This water was Ganga river before, this water was Yamuna river before, there is no such thing. All one ocean it becomes. Indistinguishable. The names and forms of the individual rivers they are gone. Only ocean remains, rivers disappear. In the same way, giving up their names and forms, so also the illumined soul, having become free from name and form, as long as we are not illumined, we identify with a particular body. I am so and so, my name is Descendis, I was born in that place, I am so many years old, I am rich, I am poor, I am educated, I am sick, I am poor, all these things. All qualities, we separate ourselves, distinguish ourselves, try to show ourselves as different from other people as possible. Once the person achieves liberation, this all personality, traits and characteristics are given, he becomes one with the Atman. That person becomes one with the Atman, only Atman remains, Paramatman remains. Like, just like the rivers merge into the ocean, only ocean remains. The individual merges into the Paramatman, Paramatman remains, individual disappears.
How are they then able to continue for the rest of their life to exhaust the prarabdha?
They retain the body, they are called Jivan Muktas. When prarabdha becomes zero, that body drops off. So also the illumined soul, having become freed from name and form, reaches the self-effulgent purusha, that is higher than the higher parat. Param purusham upaiti divyam. The next passage, I am not very happy with the translation, as I found a better translation later. Let us read 31. He who knows the bliss of Brahman, wends words together with the mind return unable to reach it, he is not afraid of anything whatsoever. That part is easy, simple. From Taittiriya Upanishad. Yato vacho nivartante aprapya manasa saha anandam brahmano vidvan. Nabi bheti kutascha neti. The Taittiriya Upanishad is most chanted among all the Vedic chanting. Taittiriya chanting is very pleasing to hear. You can get recordings, CDs. So this is a passage that is chanted. Yataha, from whom vachaha manaha aprapya nivartante. It is like this. Brahman is there. And I have speech and I have mind. With my speech and with my mind, I try to grasp Brahman. So my speech was, oh, I will figure out what Brahman is. I can come back and explain Brahman. Mind also goes, oh, I can go and figure out what Brahman is. I can get a clear understanding of Brahman. Mind and speech, they both go. They try their best to understand Brahman. They cannot. Speech cannot express, mind cannot understand. They come back failed in their mission, unable to grasp Brahman, and they say no way. Just like I remember that Upanishad story yesterday, Agni goes, Ayu goes, all these people go, cannot figure out, they come back and sit down. No, we cannot understand what this is. Vachaha manasa saha, along with the mind, speech, aprapya, not being able to reach, understand, grasp, manasasa nivartante, vachaha nivartante, speech comes back, I cannot figure out. Sri Ramakrishna said, everything in this world has been defiled by the tongue. You remember
Uchishta.
That? Uchishta has become, only Brahman remains untouched. People talk about every kind of thing, you name it, they talk about it. All kinds of things are subject of talk shows. So unmentionable things they talk, unthinkable things they talk. You can hear all of those, but we should not. But one thing they cannot talk about, and that is Brahman. That is beyond the domain of speech and thought, beyond the capability of speech and thought. It is something which cannot be thought about by the mind, something which cannot be expressed in words by speech. So that part is ineffable. Brahman is ineffable. The second part is not nanibeti kutaschaneti. That person has completely become free from fear. Nothing can frighten that person. Totally free from freedom, from fear will come upon knowing Brahman. Until fear lingers, doubt lingers, fear lingers. Then fear will go away completely because there is nothing else to be afraid of. Fear comes, Brihadaranyaka explains fear, that passage is not here. Why fear comes? Fear of anything. Fear of sickness, fear of poverty, fear that somebody will come and burglarize, fear that somebody will take away what we have, fear some tiger may come, some such fear, all kinds of fear. Why does fear, from what source fear will come? Fear comes because there is something else or somebody else from whom I anticipate danger, loss or pain. But if there is nobody else or nothing else which can cause me danger, loss or pain, then there is the source of, all source of fear is eliminated and I become completely free from fear. For a Brahmajnani, no fear of anything. No fear at all. Completely state of total fearlessness. That is the first part of the passage. Such a one does not distress himself with the thought, why did I not do what is good? What did I commit sin? Up to that the translation is good. So kimaham etaham havavanapati natapati, such a person who has realized Brahman, he does not have any regrets. What kind of regret we have? Ordinary people have a lot of regrets in their old age. End of life has come. Now I am about to, my life is about to end. And I have a lot of regrets. Why did I not do this? Why did I do this one? I should have not, should not have done this one. I should have done that that way. Why such a foolish thing I did in my life? And such a good thing which I should have done, I forgot to do, I did not do, I neglected it. All these kinds of thoughts are coming and bothering us. But for a Brahmajnani, there is no such regret. He says, kimaham sadhana karavam na karavam. Why did I not do something good? Because the all good, the result of doing all good has been achieved. Kimaham pamapam karavam. Why did I do something bad? No such regret. That person becomes totally calm and free from regrets and worries. Vriddhastava chinta madnaha, no chinta for that. Ya isaya evam vidvan ete atmanagam sprunute. Such a person, the next part of this passage has to be modified. Whoever knows this, regards both these, that is good and evil, as Atman. That is not accurate. It should be such a person sees this as different aspects of the mind, different modifications of the mind, regret and happiness and congratulating oneself, feeling sorry for oneself, feeling bad about something that he did not do or could not achieve. All of those things are gone. Total peace will come.
Do other forms of life sense this and somebody is in that awareness state?
They seem to be able to. Yeah. Indeed, he cherishes both these as Atman. That is not right. Such indeed, I'll modify that translation for the next edition. Such indeed is the secret knowledge of Brahman, Yaivam Veda Ityupanishad. So the in this three these three passages, 59, 30, 31, what happens? The benefits of, among other things, these good things will happen upon realization. Freedom from fear, freedom from all limitations, freedom from regrets, freedom from all good and bad, nothing bothers. Total peace and joy and purity, freedom from samshaya, from doubts, everything will come. Then the next makes it clearer, 32, 33, 34, freedom from fear. Self-knowledge confers fearlessness. Oh, here it is, 32. Fear comes only from a second entity, Brahmanya Upanishad. If there is something else or somebody else from whom I anticipate some pain, or he may take away my stuff, or he may cause me distress in some way, then I have reason to be afraid. If you are alone in your department, nobody else to supervise or nobody else to do anything, then you are free. But if somebody else is there, if he is an assistant, you are afraid he may not carry out the instruction, he may not do his part, then you are end up doing his worst. If you have a supervisor, then you may be afraid that he will find fault with your work, he may give you more work, he may make you stay longer, he may not give you the rights, all these things. But if you are alone in your department, one person, a fool to be afraid, for what? So, dvitiyadvaivayam bhavati, fearlessness comes from the second. 33, this is a nice passage, Taittiriya Upanishad. When an aspirant gets fearlessly established in this unperceivable, bodiless, inexpressible and supportless Brahman, he reaches a state of fearlessness. They all say the same thing. Yada hi eva esha eva asman adrishye anatmye anirukte anilayane abhuyam pratishtam vindate. Whenever the aspirant sees the slightest difference, he is smitten with fears. Smallest difference, me and something else, somebody else, that is enough to sow the seeds of fear in my heart. Nevertheless, that very Brahman can be a terror to the learned man, theoretical learning, who lacks the unity of experience. If a person has only scriptural knowledge but not experience, then that person is still subject to fear, prone to fear. One who does not realize the self as one and undifferentiated is subject to fear, though he may be learned. Kathatasya bhayam bhavati tatveva bhayam vidusha amanvanasya tadapyesha shloko bhavati. 34. One should concentrate one's mind on the solution is given here. When we are afflicted with fear, then what we should do? One should concentrate one's mind on Om, for Om is Brahman, beyond fear. Om confers fearlessness. For one who is ever fixed in Brahman, there can be no fear anywhere. If you want to be completely free from fear of all sorts, then you have to realize Brahman. You should become a Brahmajnani or a Parabhakta. But devotee, pure devotion to God, has no fear also. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In the Bible there is a part called the Book of Psalms. P-S-A-L-M-S, Book of Psalms. In the 23rd chapter, there is a very famous verse. The verse has only 4 or 5 words in it. The verse says, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not fear. So this very famous sentence, if this bhakta's attitude, Brahmajnani says, I am Brahman, what is there to be afraid of whom? There is nothing else, I am alone, I am Brahmasmi. He takes that position. Bhakta's fearlessness comes from total devotion to and faith in his chosen ideal. The Lord is my shepherd, he is my ideal, he is my caretaker, he is my protector, why should I be afraid? Of what? Of whom? No fear. Bhakta becomes totally free from fear, jnani becomes totally free from fear. Those who have neither bhakti nor jnana, they are subject to fear. Yunjita praname chetaha. Mind has to be engaged in pranava. Pranava means om. Pranava brahma nirbhayam, om is fearlessness. Praname nitya yuktasya navayam vidyate kvachit. For one whose mind is ever fixed in om, there is no reason to be afraid. There is no fear. Okay, that's page 8. Now we have 2 more pages. We'll see what we can do. Do you have any questions now so far?
I have. Good question. For number 31, could you also interpret it as, so long as you have not realized Brahman.
Which one?
Number 31. So long as you have not realized Brahman, then you will see this relativity of good and bad.
Right.
But once you have, then that breaks down and
the transcends the duality. Right. Quite right. These 35, the matter is subject matter is familiar to you from this morning. Mere scholarship does not give Brahma Jnana, Paravidya does not give. Scholarship belongs in the Aparavidya domain. This self is not attained through study. Nayamatma pravachanena labhyaha. Pravachana means scriptures ask us to do pravachana. Every day you should do Veda, Dhyana, Parvachana, you should do like this, we have heard many times. But if you keep doing that one without doing anything else, just to acquire scholarship and fame, then that will not be of much use. You look to Ramnis here. There are 2 verses here. You can, I'll give the reference, you study it for yourself. Very interesting verses. वाग्वैखरी शब्दझरी शास्त्रव्याख्यानकौशलम् वैदुष्यं विदुषां तद्वत् 58 श्लोक नंबर 58 भुक्तयेन तु मुक्तये अनदर श्लोक मे बी 59 अविज्ञाते परे तत्त्वे शास्त्राधीतिस्तु निष्फला विज्ञाते परे तत्त्वे शास्त्राधीतिस्तु निष्फला वेरी अविज्ञाते फारो ओरे आवर हम Fifty-eight and 59. There Shankara very nicely, in a fairly humorous way, in a somewhat humorous way, he says, Vagvaikhari Shabdajari Shastravyakhyana Kaushalam. What flowing language, no? Impressive flow of words. Shastravyakhyana Kaushalam. Proficiency in expounding the scriptures nicely, impressively. Vaidushyam vidusham, this kind of scholarship of scholars, of what good are they, of what good is it? Bhuktaye, for bhukti. Bhukti means enjoyment. You will get fame, rewards, garlands and praises. Natu muktaye, not mukti one not get. And second, that's 58. 59 passage, avijñate pare tatve. Pare tatve avijñate. When Supreme Reality is not realized, Shastradhitistu nishphala, mastery of scriptures is useless. If I read all the scriptures, if I don't know God, no realization, then what good is my scholarship? Not much use. Bhuktayena tu muktayi. Vijnate vipare tatve. Supposing you realize God, what good is knowledge of scriptures? Shastradi tistu nishphala. It's a very nice pair of verses, 58-59. So this is what this 35 says. This self is not attained through study. Mayamatma pravachanena lagam se mundakan katapanishad both.
Okay. You said fear comes only from the second entity. Now, even though we know, you know, every form of life's true nature is that Atman, I mean, including Osama bin Laden, it does this mean that how can that mindset help us to deal with all the adharma, the violence that goes on? We still have to do our part. Isn't it?
Yeah, you have to be a part.
So even though karma will take its course, you know, to render justice to people for what they did, and we still have to do our part, isn't it?
Yeah. That? Our karma, our duty we have to fulfill.
Okay.
Yeah. Wherever, in whatever stage of life you are, the duties pertaining to that stage have to be fulfilled. Now we go to the Atma Samyak Jnani, the importance of truth and purity. 36. The self effulgent and pure self seated deep within oneself is attainable by the diligent and pure seers through truth, concentration and pure knowledge and purity of conduct. Two, three things are emphasized. Truth is emphasized. Adherence to truth, satya. So yesterday also we saw the preparatory steps for brahmajnana or for pure devotion, for both they are same. One of them is purity of conduct and truthfulness, satya. Satya, ahimsa, satya, staya, brahmacharya, parigraha, Shaucha, Santosha, Tapas, Swadhyaya, Ishara, Pranayana, the Patanjali's 10 Yama Niyama, and Bhagavad Gita has the 3 kinds of Tapas, Shariram Tapaha, Vanmayam Tapaha, Manasam Tapaha. All those things we saw yesterday, all of those are prerequisite. Without that, no Brahmajnana, no Parabhakti. By truth alone is sustained the divine path by which the desireless seers ascend to where exists the supreme treasure attainable to truth. Here comes Satyameva Jayate Nandritam. Truth alone abides and not in truth. This is a famous statement. Even God definitely uses that as the slogan. Satyameva Jayate Nandritam. May not be followed in practice, but at least the goal is there. Motto is there. Satyameva Jayate comes from Mundaka Upanishad, Nanritam. So, in the 37, this passage we saw yesterday, part of it, O Maitreyi, Yajnavalkya says, there is no hope of immortality through wealth. Amritatvasya na shavaste vittena. Vachiketa says something, na vittena tatpaniyo manushya. No matter how much wealth one accumulates, that does not help us to get liberation. Wealth is something else and liberation is something else. And all the riches in the world do not help us. So how much wealth the great sages had? They didn't have any wealth. Yajnavalkya had, but he relinquished everything. He said, you took out any keep and these things, take care of you, all these things, and I am repairing to the forest and no wealth. He left behind all his gold coins and cattle and everything. The next passage is the creator Brahma said to Ashwalayana, know thyself by means of faith, devotion, tasmai saho vaja pita mahascha shraddha bhakti jnana yoga devahi. It has already come, the same subject matter has come. We'll go a little bit faster. The 39 we did this morning, Nachiketa Sri Yama, Tavivaha, Stavundar Chagita. You keep all the chariot and horses and music and dance by yourself, I give you Brahmajana. I don't care for all the kingdom and queen and all those things. So he rejected. Now, we want to go to the Mahavakyas. Let's say I am speeding up a little bit. Sukesha, son of Bharadwaja, Satyakama, son of Shivi, and others all devoted to Brahman, intent of knowing Brahman, approached the revered Pipalada with sacrificial fuel in their hands. Samit Panihi, notice that one, sacrificial fire means Samit. The word, the term used is Samit Panihi. Pani means sand, Samit means the dry twigs used for fire ceremony. Agnihotra. Why they should take that one? When a student approaches a teacher, he is required to carry a bundle of Samit in his hand to be offered to the teacher. That is the registration fees, like that one. When you send the application, you have to send $50 with application fee. So the Samit bundle is that you have to take. Why we should, the student should take that one? It indicates on the part of the student, he is telling the teacher, I am coming to you to seek knowledge from you, I am ready to serve you, and this is the symbol of my readiness to serve you. Symbol of service, readiness to serve, and humility and obedience. So please accept this one and accept me as your student.
Maharaj, this Satyakama is not Satyakama.
This may be different Satyakama. No. To be able to...
That's Satyakama in Chandogya.
The same name several people may have had. Live with most. Then what does the teacher say? To them, that seer said, live with me for another year with austerity, chastity and faith. Austerity, tapasa, chastity, brahmacharyena, sraddhaya, with faith. Then serve me for 1 year before I forgive the first lesson. As soon as you go to the class, the teacher does not start giving the instruction. That happens in modern times. If you have paid the fees, then you have met all the requirements. You go to the class and the lecture starts. But not so in Pipalada's ashrama. You come here, stay with me for a year, do all the duties I ask you to do, then I will begin my lessons, my instruction. He says like that. 1 year preparatory time. The mind of the student has to be prepared. Live with me another year with austerity, chastity and faith. Then ask us questions according to your desire. And if we know, look at this,
if we know,
we shall indeed tell you that. And he doesn't even guarantee I will answer all your questions. If I know, let me see, I may be able to answer. Bhuyeva tapasa brahmacharyena shraddhaya samvatsaram samvatsyatha yatha kamam prashnan prachata yadi vijnasyamaha then vakshyamaha sarvam havai vakshyamaha. If I know the answer, I will tell you. Otherwise, I say I don't know. Preparation for meditation on Brahman. To be able to meditate on Brahman, one has to be moderate in food, have control over anger, attachment and passions, be free from pairs of opposites, devoid of egoism and expectations, and be free from possessions. See all the requirements? These are all the prerequisites for Brahmajnana. Without these prerequisites, if I simply read Upanishad, nothing happens. Jitaharo Ladvashi Visa yesterday. Jita Krodha, anger must be controlled. You want to hear a story now? You want a story?
Yes.
Yes. Have you heard about Eknath Maharaj?
No.
Interesting, worthwhile story. This is about jitakrodha, freedom from, and if you have anger in your mind, Brahma Jnana will not come. So, among other things, freedom from anger must be achieved. This Eknath Maharaj lived in Maharashtra. He was born in a town called Paithan. It is near Shirdi. Shirdi Sai Baba's ashram is there. It is on the way from Aurangabad to Shirdi, a small town called Paithan. There he lived. This Eknath Maharaj was a jnani and a bhakta. But he was freely mixing with people of all social classes and serving them. He did not say, I am a brahmana, I will not mix with you. He didn't stand apart. The orthodox people didn't like him because all the people were praising him and showing him respect. They tried to persecute him. Orthodox community tried to persecute this Eknath. But Eknath remained unperturbed. No matter how much problem they created for him, he calmly remained absolutely with a complete calmness. He took everything without becoming upset even slightly. And the orthodox people, they wanted to upset him, make him angry. And then they can say, see, also, like, you become angry, we become angry, what's the big deal about you? But he was known to be a person free from anger. He had never become angry in his life. He was a married person. So they tried to do so many things to make him angry. He never became angry. Many, many things they tried. They paid money to some poor people to go and make him angry. Everybody tried. Nothing. Nobody could make him angry. Then they devised one other method. They called a Muslim fellow and told him, see, if you go and make Eknath angry, we'll give you 50 rupees. That poor man wanted money. So he agreed, yes, I'll make him angry. Then for money, he agreed to do the assignment, to make him angry. Then he thought for some days, how to make this person angry? He thought so many plans. Finally, he decided upon one plan. He watched Eknath for a few days. What does he do from morning till evening? This Muslim man who wanted some money. So Eknath would get up early in the morning, go to the lake nearby, take bath and go to the temple, pray and all those things. You know, this man noted this daily routine. Then he thought one plan, thought about one plan. Next morning, early in the morning, this Muslim man went to the lake and was waiting there for Eknath. Eknath comes as usual, chanting the name of God, and then he doesn't notice this man. He is absorbed in devotion, goes to the lake, takes bath. The lake has stone steps, sopana, and climbs the steps, comes back to the surface, and starts going towards the temple after having taken bath. This Muslim fellow goes near him and spits on Eknath's face. He thought, oh, this will surely make him angry. But Eknath didn't become angry. He simply quietly went back to the lake, took bath a second time, and then again went up, came up the steps and started going towards temple. This man, oh, he didn't become angry. He spat on his face again a second time. He thought, though, this will surely make him angry. No, Eknath didn't become angry. Again, he patiently goes back to the lake, takes bath a third time, comes up the steps and goes, tries to go towards the temple. This man spits on his face again a third time. Fourth time he takes bath, comes up. Fifth time he spits. Sixth time he takes bath. This goes on. He never becomes angry. He's not pretending. You cannot pretend. You can pretend for a short time if there is anger in your heart. Sooner or later it will burst, you will come out. But he went on spitting. Every time he took bath, came up, absolutely calm, no trace of anger in his heart. You cannot pretend for so long. 108 times he spat on Nikana's face. 109th time he went into the bath and came up absolutely calm. Not a trace of hatred or anger. So then this man didn't know what else to do. Then this man falls at Ekna's feet and says, "Sir, I'm a poor person. I have no interest to do any harm to you. But these people offered me some money. Because of poverty, I agreed to this. I cannot make you angry. You are a Mahatma. Please forgive me and accept me as your disciple." Ekna says, "Okay, it's not your fault, I know. I know it is not you. I know you have come. It's okay. Don't worry. You have nothing to for now, no anger to for. I'm not forgiving you because I'm not offended. What's there to forgive? You did your part. I'm doing my part." Then he went to the temple. These people are waiting there. This his antagonist. They are waiting there with a, this is a Shiva temple. In Shiva temple there is always a Nandi, a bull facing the Shiva Linga. In Rama temple there is always a Hanuman. Like that. In Vishnu temple there is always a what?
Garuda.
A Garuda. So in Shiva temple the Nandi. The Nandi is a stone image of Nandi, a bull. These people are waiting, they can't hold of him. You think you are a Mahatma because you didn't become angry. Now, do this one. If you are a great soul, can you feed this bull with this bunch of grass? Make it eat? This is a stone image of Nandi. How can you make it eat grass? But that's what they ask. If you are a Mahatma, you should be able to do it. Then he didn't know what to do. Then he says, "Oh Lord, I am in such a predicament. You have to save me now. He cannot pray to God." So they didn't give him a chance. So he takes the bunch of grass and keeps it near the mouth of the Nandi image and fervently prays to God, "Whatever you do, it's your will now." As soon as he prayed like that, the stone image gobbles up all the grass and grass disappears. Then these people didn't know what else to do, they all prostrated and accepted him as a man. Like this, so many things, so many times they tried to persecute him. If you become angry, remember Eknath and chant Om, your anger will go. Eknath is the Maharshi, great sage. Freedom from anger means Eknath. He wrote Bhagavata. In Maharashtrian families, they keep Eknath Maharaj's Bhagavata and they read it every day. 41, to be able to meditate on Brahman, one has to be moderate in food, have control over anger, attachment and passions, be free from pairs of opposites, devoid of egoism and expectations, and free from possessions. Nirdvandvo nirahankaro nirashira parigraha. Then, 42nd is from Katha Upanishad, one who has not desisted from bad conduct, whose senses are not under control, whose mind is not concentrated and whose mind is not free from anxiety about the result of action, cannot attain the self through knowledge. No self-knowledge. Okay, meditation on Om, that will take us to the end. Making one's, this is similar to what we did this morning, pranamodana sarvatma. Making one's own body lower piece of wood. Two similar passages occurring in Shvetashvatara and Kaivalya. Lower piece. Those days, so you have to understand these two passages, you have to see, you have to know how they were generating fire. Now we have matchsticks and lighter and everything. With a flick you can get the flame. And they didn't have these facilities in earlier days to do yajna, even for cooking, agnihotra, fire ceremony, everything. They have to create fire by friction, by churning one vertical wooden piece on a horizontal piece with a depression in the horizontal piece. Purvarani uttararani. You create a small log of wood as the base with a little depression in it, and you take another piece of wood with a sharp end and keep this in it and keep on churning like this. because the friction fire will come and then it will glow and then you make it, feed some more firewood to it, like that. That's the process explained here. Making one's own body the lower piece of wood and pranava the upper piece of wood and practicing churning in the form of meditation, one should realize God as one would find out something hidden. Svadehamaranim kritva pranavam chottararanim dhyana nirmathana bhyasat devam pasyan nigodavati. Meditate on Om, giving up anger and all those things. Making the Atman the lower piece of wood and pranava the upper piece of wood, by repeated churning of knowledge, a wise person burns up the bond of samsara. Similar passage in Kaivalya Upanishad. Now, before we go to the four Mahavakyas, anything else you want to bring up? No, I have to get up. Mahavakya means get up. Now I'm warmed up. Good. I don't know. I'll take later. Well, no. Here it is. I want to you to go back to the first lecture. Somewhere we have noted three passages from the 13th chapter. 13:26 Okay. go to 26 and 2. 2 and 26. Those two I need to understand Mahavakyas. That's why study of chapter 2 and chapter 13 is required to study the Upanishads, prerequisites. That's my view. Some people may bypass it. Now, which color should I use? Green. Green.
Yes, fond of green is nice.
Youth, today everything is green, environment friendly. Good. Alright. I would get up and do some work. I'm also 1861. What do these shlokas say? These three, four shlokas. What does shloka 2 say in second, in 13th chapter? Kshetrajnam Sapi Mam Vidhi Sarvakshetreshu Bharata, O Arjuna. Sarvakshetreshu, in all the bodies, including animal bodies, plant bodies, inanimate bodies, human bodies, male, female, all bodies. In all bodies, Sarvakshetreshu Mam Kshetrajnam Vidhi. Vidhi means?
No.
No, understand. Clearly understand, be convinced that I am the indwelling spirit. The Lord is saying, in all the bodies, I am the indwelling spirit. Now, that indwelling spirit is not the only thing, our body is also there. Our body is like the container, the indwelling spirit is the content. So, our human personality is not one simple thing, it is a complex of many different things put together. The mind is there. The mind has itself some functional components, buddhi, ahamkara, all those things, citta, all those things. The sense organs are there, karma indriyas, jnana indriyas, everything is there. All kinds of prana, vayu, everything is there. So, a lot of things put together. It's an assemblage of many different components brought together and held together and functioning together in concert. That's the human body mind. Now, in this human body mind complex, the Kshetrajna, the Lord is also present, 1861, Ishvara says, Sri Krishna says, Ishvaraha sarvabhutanam hriddeshe Arjuna tishtati, O Arjuna, sarva-bhutanam hriddeshe, in the hearts of all the beings, Ishvara tishtati, the Lord is present. Now we start with that position, and with that as the our firm understanding, as our foundation, we understand the, if you know this one, then Mahavakya becomes very easy to grasp. This is the prerequisite knowledge. Now take any Mahavakya, four Mahavakyas are there. Aham Brahmasmi, Brahma Buddharanika Upanishad, I am Brahman. Now when you say I am Brahman, if you take it literally, it's very confusing. How can I be Brahman? I am this human person, this is my name, this is my address, this is my body, I am so old, so many years old and I live in that place. Then you also see you are Brahman, but you are quite different, aren't we? You live here in a Cedar Rapids, alive in a Silver Spring, Maryland, and I am saying I am Brahman, you say you are Brahman, then are both of us right or both of us wrong? How can this be true? This is confusing, that's not obviously true. That could not be true. So literally you should not take I am Brahman. And if you do that, lot of confusion will come. So, let me see if I have that here somewhere. Anyway, I'll explain that. So, how to understand, how to make sense of the statement, I am Brahman, I am Aham Brahmasmi. To understand this one, we do a certain analysis. We leave this Brahman alone, intact. We can't alter any, we can't do any change to Brahman. It is unchangeable. We leave it alone. The Brahman part is okay. The I part is the subject. This I can be broken down into two major parts. What are the two major parts? Here 1326 tells. Every being is made up of a combination of two parts. Sri Krishna says in Gita 1326. What are the two parts? What are they called? The material part, body, mind and all those things, sense organs and all those things, one part, and the spiritual part. There are specific names in the 13th chapter. What are the names in the 13th chapter? Kshetra, Kshetrajna, Samyoga. Samyoga means combination, union. Samyoga means union. By the union of Kshetra, Kshetrajna, all beings are there. All beings are union of combination of kshetra kshetrajna. That is 1326. Yavat sanjayate kim. You have to study that 26 and 13 to very thoroughly to understand the end Brahman. Very thoroughly. Yavat sanjayate kinchit satvam sthavara jangamam kshetra kshetrajna samyogat. By the combination of kshetra kshetrajna, all beings have come. So I am a being. This I is a being. All of us are I beings. You are I for you, I am I for me. I means any individual. Any individual is a combination of kshetra kshetrajna. Now the kshetras are obviously different. My body is not same as your body, and his body is not same as her body. All bodies are different. Kshetras are all separate. They have to be different. Even bodies of twins are separate. They may appear somewhat similar, but they are separate. But what about the kshetrajna? How many kshetrajnas?
Only one
kshetrajna. Many containers, but only one content. Kshetrajna is one only. That is 13-2. 13-2, 13-26. We must master. Clearly, then this becomes very easy. There the Lord says in 13:2, Sarva Kshetreshu Mam Kshetrajnam Vidhi. Know me to be the one indwelling spirit in all the innumerable and diverse bodies. To understand this one, you go to any warehouse or chemistry lab. In the chemistry lab, there are so many these containers. Some flasks are conical flasks, some are burettes, some are pipettes, some are cylinders, some are very 5 gallon capacity, some is has only 5 ounce capacity, some are all different capacities, different shape, different size, different function, different names. Different names, different functions, different forms. They are all made up of different materials also. Now, in all, imagine all of them are empty. Empty means what?
Yes.
All of them have some space, not even air. Space is there. Air may not be there in the upper atmosphere. Space. Now, the space appears to be divided into compartments because the containers are different. This Sri Krishna says, avibhaktam ca bhuteshu vibhaktam ivacha sthitam. Avibhakta, space is indivisible. We can't divide space into pieces. It is one and the indivisible continuum space. As if it is divided into various compartments, it appears. So, this Kshetrajna is one indivisible continuum, pure consciousness, infinite, eternal. It appears to have been divided into compartments and parts because of its association with various Kshetras. Kshetras come and go, Kshetrajna is constant. Bodies come and go, na hanyate hanyamane sharire, 220. When the bodies, sarire hanyamane, bodies die, Atmana hanyate, Atman doesn't die, Kshetrajna doesn't die. Now, we divide this, break down this I into its two major components. I is made up of Kshetra. The Kshetra is perishable, right? Body comes and goes. Some bodies live for 100 years, some bodies live for 50 years, some bodies live for some flies and fruit flies, and they live for 3 days and 4 days, and some bodies live for 1000 years. Some galaxies are there for how many billions and billions of years. So all bodies, nevertheless. So Kshetra comes and goes, perishable. Kshetra is perishable. Destructible. No, perishable is same as destructible. Temporary, comes and goes. Adhyantamantaha. Now, what is other part of me? The I? Kshetrajna. Kshetras are numerous, infinite. How many beings are there? Infinite, because some have come, not yet come, some have come and gone. Kshetras are infinite in number, there is no number. Census only takes care of, takes account of the number of people living now at this time. But that's not constant. If you 10 years later, so many people will have died, many people will have been born, so that census does not give us infinite number of bodies, kshetras. In all the kshetras, how many kshetrajnas are there?
One.
Unchangeable, imperishable, unchangeable. How many kshetras? Many. How many kshetrajnas?
One.
Now, in this statement, the last step is to understand that when they say, I am He, the Kshetrajna is He, not the Kshetra. The divinity present within me is Brahman. God is present within me, and that is the only one. The other part of me comes and goes. There is only one divinity in you and me and everybody else. Tvayimaicharnyatra yeko vishnuhu. Vajagovinda stotram. Tvayi mayitanyatraipo Vishnuhu yartam kupsyasi mayasa Vishnuhu. Shankaracharya sings very nicely. So it is the Kshetrajna in me is same as Brahma. Clear? If there is any doubt, let me know. Same thing about that. If you understand one, the other three become easy. The infinite, eternal, imperishable, pure consciousness in me is the same in all, and that is one. No plural there, only singular. There was a famous physicist, philosopher, Erwin Schrödinger. He put the finger on this one. He said, for consciousness there is no plural, it is always only singular. Bodies are plural. They come and go. That's why Sri Krishna says, na hanyate hanyamane sharire. The simple interpretation of this can be, in some books it is made very complicated. They have been bhaga lakshana, tyaga lakshana, so many complicated logic and everything they will bring. But this simpler way to understand, the God in me is same as God in you and everybody else. God in me is same as God in the elephant, God in the fish, God in the bird, God in the wicked man. Same. That's what Sri Ramakrishna's vision was. You remember his vision we read yesterday? As put note, the first passage on page 1. Same consciousness pulsating in all. Whether it is a wicked person standing outside the temple, or a cat that came to the temple, or the puja image, or the flower pot, or the marble floor, the windowsill, or door frame, or himself, male or female. When I say I am Brahman, I does not refer to the body mind. That is not Brahman. That is material, comes and goes. The Lord in me, the presence of the divine in me is Brahman. That is one. In that way, spiritually we are all one, physically we are all separate. Okay? Spiritual unity and material diversity. All are separate if you take the bodies. But all are not, all are actually only one when it comes to the spirit. The spirit in me is same as spirit in you. Space in the 8 ounce cup is same as space in the 5 gallon jar. Only one space. Seems to be separated. Avibhaktam chabhuteshu vibhaktam ivachasthitam. The I am Brahman means the Lord in me is same as Lord in everyone. That is Brahman. Not the body. Body should not say I am Brahman, then it will be a big mistake. Punjita? Very good. Now say, once you understand one Mahavakya, the other three are very similar. Say, different ways of saying the same thing actually. What is second Mahavakya?
Second one is
Brahmasma. Okay, we read the second one first, okay. Ayam Atma Brahma. That is third one we go. That's easier also. Ayam Atma, this Atman. Atman in this I is same as Brahman. Actually it is same. Very same. Same things being chatted in a different way, using different words.
Well, actually Kshetra doesn't exist.
It does exist at certain level. Don't we have our bodies?
Whereas that's a different manifestation of the Brahma.
Manifestation or some manifestation, something is there. You don't say it is not there.
Maharaj, when in Taittiriya Upanishad when it says Annam Bhrume Divijanam, so again it's pointing to the essence of Annam.
It's a different thing, don't mix that one, confusing. It's a wholly different topic. You should not mix up things. See what? There is a series of graded lessons. Pranam Brahme Devyajanat, Annam Brahme Devyajanat, like this 4 or 5 steps it gives. The student is gradually taken. Student first thinks I am the body, body is Brahman. No, he says you are not the body is not the Brahman, Prana is the Brahman. Manas is the Brahman, then Atman is the Brahman, Anandam is the Brahman. Like this, he said. Mm. One step, you should not take one step on and mix it with this. The different, nothing to do with it.
So it's just a teaching process.
Teaching process.
Because we are still body conscious.
Yes, slowly from where we are, like Sant Kumara Vikramarada, from verbal level, word level, he takes it to the highest level. So, I am Atma Brahma. Same thing about Tattvamasi. We will do that one. Tattvamasi we will do. Tat. Tvam. Asi. Asi means you are. Aham asmi. Saha asti. Tvam asi. First person. I am, aham asmi, Brahma aham asmi. Second person, tvat tvam asi. Third person, saha asti, he is. He is, I am, you are. This conjugation. So now, same process. Simply equate this tat with Brahman. That means that, Brahman. Tvam can be broken down. Tvam is same as I. First person is I, second person you. I can say I am Brahman, I have to say you are Brahman also. Tattvamasi. Same thing said in a different way. Very similar. If you understand one Mahavakya, the other three Mahavakyas are similar. Tvam is broken down into two parts. What are the two parts? I am going to write Kshetrajna on this side. Kshetra on this side. This is all. You are that. The Kshetrajna in you, Tvam means you. I am telling you. Mm-hmm. Teacher tells the student. Uddalaka tells the Shweta Ketu in the Chandogya Upanishad. The Kshetrajna in you is same as that. The Kshetrajna in me is same as that. The Kshetrajna in everybody is same as that. Only one Kshetrajna. No me to be the indwelling spirit in all. This is my simple way of understanding. You can make it very complicated. Grammar and logic and all those things will come pages after pages of interpretation. After reading all of that and not understanding any of that, I thought this is the best way to.
That's a scholarly.
Yeah, some scholars take delight in that. It has its place. Now, which one we did? I am Atma Brahma. Same thing. This individual Atman, whether it is I for me or you, Tvam for you, is same as Brahma. I am Atma Brahma. The Kshetrajna in every Atma, in every being is same as Brahma. Now, the fourth one is a little bit different. Prajnanam Brahma. What is this one? This Kshetra is material. This Kshetra is the material part that we know. If you want to know what this Kshetra is, I'll give a reference. What is Kshetra body? Now we have to understand this scientifically. You go to medical science, anatomy, physiology, all those things. We don't want to go to that amount of detail. We are not interested at this time. In a short, brief manner, if you want to know what this Kshetra, Kshetrajna is pure consciousness. This is, what is this Kshetra? You go to 13th chapter, two shlokas are there, 5 and 6, that describes the Kshetra in some detail.
Mahabhutanyahankaro buddhiravyaktamevaca indriyani dasha ekamcha.
How does Shiv Shankar say? Panchachendriya bhojana, ichcha, desha, sukham, dukham, sanghata, chetana, drihi. Savikaram udahritam. So that is etat kshetram. Samasena means briefly this is kshetra. Okay, that is kshetra that you can read in your own time. But kshetrajna is the main thing, that is the Atman in all, only one. So this ayam atma brahma, no, not this one, the prajnanam brahma, this is prajnanam. Prajnanam means pure consciousness. Pure consciousness means everybody, all of us have consciousness, right? We are conscious now, we are speaking, we are talking, we are walking, we are listening, we are doing things. Consciousness, we are aware, we are conscious of this place and time, our existence, everything, pain and pleasure, everything. Now our consciousness is related to some object, objective consciousness. I simply say, I am conscious, then I should complete the sentence of something. I am conscious of being here, I am conscious of being this person, I am conscious of this environment, I am conscious of so many other things that I have to go back to Silver Spring tomorrow, all those things. I am conscious of my pain and pleasure, everything. Now, if you take away all the objects of the sentence, I am conscious of this, this and this, objectless, pure awareness or consciousness is one continuum. When applied to the, when associated with particular body and object, it becomes articulated and connected with so many objects, divided into so many things. That pure consciousness, which is the basis of all consciousness within us all, the deepermost awareness within us, life within us, that is one continuum, that is Brahman. In Samadhi, we lose our awareness of the body, transcend body, mind, all pain and pleasure, happiness, anger, jealousy, all those things go deeper and deeper and deeper. Pure consciousness, ocean of consciousness, Sachidananda. We have to gain that experience. Until that experience comes, we will be struggling with words. Words don't really give us the correct meaning. They sometimes mislead us also. So, prajnanam brahma, the innermost core essence of our personality, is that pure consciousness, that is prajnanam. And that is one, that is singular, that is all pervasive, eternal, unchanging, infinite. Kiran?
Maharaj, is that Brahma or Brahman?
Brahman. Am Brahmasmi means Am Brahman Asmi. Not the creator Prajapati. Param Brahman. Huh? Amma, what did you say?
Brahman is Prajnanam Brahma, but.
It is written as, it is Brahman.
No,
it's written as Brahma.
In the beginning, right?
Yeah.
In the Upanishads.
Yeah. Upanishads only, they don't talk about Brahma at all, the Purana and Brahma at all.
Yes.
That's the Puranic domain. Prajapati, and he is only good for one kalpa.
Yeah.
Maharaj, who was the person that you said gave that quotation, consciousness is always singular?
Arvind Schrodinger.
Who's that?
Was a famous physicist and philosopher.
Schrodinger's equation.
Right.
He wrote that book, Mind Views of the World.
Yeah, that Mind and Matter?
Yes.
That book has written that.
How do we explain or how do we understand that, I think in some of the Puranas, I don't know whether it's a Gajendra Moksha or some other forms of life also getting moksha?
Rarely. They do sometimes. Generally not.
I see. So this, because this process of self-inquiry, because only human beings are capable of, they are self-conscious, only human beings are self-conscious, and with that comes all the complexes and all that, you know. So, but the Purana talks about rare cases of other forms of life getting moksha.
Rare. Ramana Maharshi's ashrama, Lakshmi, cow was there. She liberated her. From cow's life, it got liberation. But all cows don't get liberation. They have to go through human. In Kathopanishad, Yama says to Nachiketa, it's only from the human birth platform that you can reach liberation. Not from lower births. Leave aside the few
exceptions.
On your fingers you can count. How many Gajendras are there? Comes in the Bhagavatam. Gajendra Moksha, if you have time, you read. I think it is Ashtama, eighth skanda, eighth canto. Three chapters are there. Chapters 2, 3, 4 or something.
Maharaj, that quote from Thakur that you gave under Aham Brahmasmi, it almost makes it sound like he's forbidding householders to use that Mahavakya, like they should use others.
He says, don't use it loosely, I'm Brahman like that. Understand the meaning and use it carefully. Where is that note? Which one?
Second.
Page 2. Page 2, right. After the second passage, yes. Yeah, this is not the right attitude for householders who are, not even for monks. Monks are also should not use it. I should not say I am Brahman without having the experience. Mm-hmm. It's simply words. What does it mean? Gives me a false pride. Becoming a sannyasi does not guarantee Brahmajnana. You are still the same person with all the ignorance and all the problems. Changing the cloth does not make you a jnani overnight. So no issue. Unless they have the experience to back it, you shouldn't say that. Yeah, that's the passage. Gospel 274. Excepting a few passages, most of it we have done. Anything
Maharaj,
else you want to add?
You wanted us to remind you to talk about how to gain experience of that circuit.
How to gain experience. This is what I have been talking.
You were in 1861, BG 1861.
Yeah, Ishwara
Saravodana. Talking about the conclusion.
Oh, that we read yesterday.
Yeah. That Chandogya 7.26.2, that's when you did that, yeah?
Yeah, that and also Savanamalana Nityasana. Plus this 4 steps preparation, that is how to gain experience. All the simpler methods are there. Hare Nama, repeat the name of Hari. Don't worry about Viveka, Virajna, all those things. And Brahma, Atma, don't worry about all these things. Forget about all these things. With simple heart, with a simple heart, with pure devotion like a child, repeat the name of God and shed tears of devotion. Hare Nama, Hare Nama. Alternate methods we discussed how to realize this. Two major streams, Bhakti Yoga, Jnana Yoga. Karma Yoga also we discussed. 1846, one shloka is enough to realize God. One line is enough to realize God in the Gita. Which one is that? Swakarmana tamabhyarcha. Second line of 18 chapter 46 verse. Even you can display out the first line. Yata pravartir bhutanam yena. See, three major methods we discussed. How to realize that. No, all this left is for you to for us to do that one. We have talked enough about it. We have to start doing something.
As soon as you close your eyes, all this unconscious starts coming up.
Yeah. That is the challenge.
Settling all the old accounts.
Yeah, that is the problem. It'll by the grace of God, each one of us is destined to realize that. I'm quite sure about that. Each one of us.
They say, you know, Swamiji, when you're drilling for oil, first all the gas comes out.
Yeah.
now the muck comes out, gas comes out, you don't get high straight away.
No.
Because all the layers and layers.
It has to come out.
Right.
When you sit over sit for meditation, all the hidden things will come, all invisible. Did I ever think about these things? They were a surprising thing. In our sinner moments, we never think about such things. All of them, they are hidden somewhere in the world. From where they come, from the deeper recesses of the mind, from where do they come? And they have to be thrown out. And then finally, we realize, it happens by the grace of God, not so much by our effort. Our effort is a small part. His grace is what really makes it possible.
The fact that we have used our free will to, what little free will we have, that we have used it to go in the direction.
Yeah, all directions, all unwanted directions. It'll happen. You're in the right track. You're doing the right thing.